High gain to noise temperature ratio antennas for space communications. During the 1960s, there was an increasing interest in antennas with very high sensitivity. This interest developed primarily as a consequence of the rapid growth of commercial space communications. In space communications, and in particular in satellite communications, a relatively small amount of power is radiated from a spacecraft, transmitted over a large distance, and received by a ground station antenna with high sensitivity. The sensitivity of the receiving antenna is a function of several of the design parameters which an antenna designer has at his disposal. First of all, it is a function of the size of the collecting aperture. Secondly, the sensitivity depends on the antenna's ability to discriminate against thermal noise. Such noise is generated in the atmosphere, in the galaxy, in the planets, including Earth, in lossy transmission line components, and so forth. In the microwave band, 1 to 10 GHz, we find in the atmospheric contribution the ideal lower limit in realizable noise temperature. The ideal antenna would generate a delta function antenna pattern and would be characterized by a noise temperature profile closely related to the atmospheric temperature conditions. This profile, which is at a minimum at zenith and reaches a maximum toward the horizon, can be closely approximated by a secant function with the argument of the secant given by the zenith angle. The antenna designer's objective, then, is the realization of this ideal limit. His chief obstacles in achieving this limit are coupling to the Earth through wide-angle side lobes and noise generated internally by lossy networks in the feed system. With these factors in mind, the antenna engineer must effect a reasonable compromise between aperture size, low noise temperature, and cost. Because the sensitivity of the receiving antenna is directly proportional to its collecting aperture size, or equivalently, its gain, and inversely proportional to its noise temperature, a convenient measure of performance is the gain-to-noise temperature ratio, G over T. This ratio has been taken as the quality factor or figure of merit of the receiving antenna. It has been standard to specify the value of G over T at a 5-degree elevation angle, since this is about the lowest practical operating angle for a receiving antenna. The gain of an antenna is directly proportional to the aperture size and the effectiveness with which that aperture is used. Effectiveness in quotes. The effectiveness is maximum when the aperture is uniformly eliminated. There are some practical limitations involved in aperture effectiveness, but they are usually not too serious. A more serious design problem is controlling the wide-angle side lobe levels of the antenna. In the following discussion, antenna design approaches typically employed in the space communication field will be summarized. The order of presentation will be based on familiarity and does not necessarily reflect an order of preference. The most familiar type of antenna used in low-noise applications is the front-fed or prime-focus-fed paraboloidal reflector. In this type of antenna, a feed, usually an electromagnetic horn, is held in place at the focal point of a paraboloid of revolution. Two basic problems limit the low-noise performance of the front-fed paraboloid. First, a significant portion of the energy radiated by the feed horn is not intercepted by the reflector, but is coupled instead to the thermally warm Earth. And second, the location of the feed usually precludes placing the receiver front end close to the feed horn input. Consequently, a long length of transmission line or waveguide must be employed, and this of necessity introduces loss with consequent degradation of the antenna noise temperature. This latter condition can be improved somewhat by utilizing low-loss, over-moded waveguide, but this often involves impractical complexity. The standard Cassegrain antenna represents the logical extension of the front-fed paraboloid. This antenna basically represents a geometric folding of the front-fed system. The Cassegrain antenna is an adaptation to microwave frequencies of a well-known optical technique. A Cassegrain antenna typically consists of a paraboloidal main reflector with a hyperboloidal subreflector. The feed is located at one of the conjugate foci of the hyperboloid in the neighborhood of the vertex of the paraboloid. The other focus of the hyperboloid coincides with the focus of the paraboloid. Parallel rays coming from a remote source are focused by the paraboloid toward the common focal point. The hyperbolic subreflector will then reflect these rays so as to converge at the antenna feed. The standard Cassegrain antenna system avoids the problems associated with the front-fed system in two ways. First, by locating the feed so as to permit direct connection of the feed horn to the receiver front end, and second, by confining the major portion of the feed spillover to the forward hemisphere where, except at very low elevation angles, it couples to the relatively cool sky rather than the warm earth. In the standard Cassegrain antenna, spillover is usually a problem encountered only at relatively low elevation angles. The wave emanating from the feed and illuminating the subreflector is spherical, and therefore spreads spatially. If this spreading can be avoided, then better performance at lower elevation angles can be realized. It is this motivation which leads to the near-field Cassegrain antenna. In this antenna, the hyperboloid is replaced with a paraboloid, that is, the reflector system becomes a pair of confocal paraboloids. The parabolic subreflector is placed in the near field of the feed horn such that the illuminating field is approximately a plane wave. In this antenna, spillover energy does not spatially diverge as it does in the standard Cassegrain antenna, but rather tends to collimate very close to the axis of the antenna. Consequently, the noise temperature introduced through spillover may be significantly improved even at very low elevation angles. Perhaps the very ultimate in low noise temperature antennas is represented by the horn reflector antenna. This antenna is a shielded offset-fed parabola. The shielding is accomplished by completely enclosing the feed section so as to form a large conical or pyramidal horn-like surface. Probably the best known implementation of this type of antenna is the Hoag horn antenna installed by the Bell Telephone Laboratories at Andover, Maine, and now operated by ComSat Corporation. Horn reflector antennas are also widely used in terrestrial microwave communication links. Clusters of them located on building tops in urban areas are a very common sight today. The advantages of the horn reflector are its very low, wide angle and back radiation, which of course is directly related to its low noise performance, its wide bandwidth potential, and high efficiency. The main disadvantage of the horn reflector relates to its high construction cost and is serious only when the antenna is physically large. The folded horn reflector, or Cass horn, as it has commonly been called, was conceived in an attempt to realize the advantages of the horn reflector while minimizing physical size and construction costs. To some extent, the objective of the design has been realized, but new problems introduced by the folding process have limited its usefulness. In particular, the extremely low magnification of the folded system causes serious problems in designing wideband multifunction feed systems. Also, the process of folding has, in effect, opened the feed system so that it is no longer entirely enclosed within a horn, and consequently, spillover effects are manifested in the efficiency and noise temperature of the antenna. In the very early 60s, it was recognized that the design freedom associated with a generalized two-reflector antenna system could be used to advantage in optimizing the G over T ratio of the antenna system. Specifically, this technique utilizes reflector shaping in a two-step process. First, the secondary reflector is shaped in conjunction with a primary feed pattern to provide uniform amplitude distribution over an angular sector defined by the primary reflector. The primary reflector is then shaped to provide a uniform phase distribution over the aperture plane. Aperture efficiencies approaching 100% have been realized with this technique. Also, the utilization of secondary reflector shaping to achieve an efficient amplitude distribution enables the designer to extend the limits of that reflector out to the first zero of the primary feed pattern, thereby measurably improving the spillover efficiency. Since reducing spillover usually improves noise temperature, it follows that the foregoing design technique provides a means of maximizing antenna efficiency while simultaneously minimizing noise temperature. This design procedure, usually referred to as shaping, offers practical advantages beyond those previously cited. For example, it is a wideband technique which is in contrast to the more conventional, but usually very narrowband, multimode feed horn. The shaped system can be designed around a simple wideband feed system. Also, it should be noted that the typical practical design utilizes a primary reflector which closely approximates the paraboloid. The deviations, while they cannot be neglected, are sufficiently small so as to fall within the normal shimming range of the surface of the standard parabolic reflector. Thus, no special or extraordinary tooling is required. The use of the shaping technique has resulted in gain-to-noise temperature improvements in the range of 1 to 2 dB over what had been available when standard Cassegrain design procedure was utilized. Some other variations of the preceding types of antennas have appeared, including the triply folded horn reflector and the offset Cassegrain antenna. These variations have resulted in certain improvements and simplifications, but for the most part, the basic approaches outlined in the preceding paragraphs remain the most widely employed. A discussion of low-noise antennas must necessarily include some mention of radomes. It is obvious that a radome can do nothing but cause some degradation to the performance of the antenna while protecting it from weather. The degradation is a consequence of the absorption and scattering characteristics of the radome. It will usually be a function of the environment in which the antenna-radome combination operates. Serious degradation has been observed during periods of moderate to heavy rainfall. The antenna designer must carefully weigh the benefits of the radome against performance penalties, taking into account the application. For example, if continuous 24-hour-a-day operation is a design requirement, then the bad weather degradation would be a serious consideration. On the other hand, if intermittent operation is acceptable, then perhaps bad weather degradation would present no problem. The question of the desirability of a radome is obviously a complicated one, and no generalized recommendation should be made. However, it should be mentioned that most practical experience with radome-enclosed, low-noise antennas has not been encouraging, and recent design trends have favored the open structure. Most of the antenna types discussed earlier for low-noise applications are microwave optical devices, which usually employ electromagnetic horns as feeders. It must be stated here that much of the improvement in low-noise antennas in recent years has been a direct consequence of improvements in the feeder design. For example, multiple mode horns have been employed with success in achieving very high efficiencies. Further, the bandwidth limitations of the multiple mode horn have been overcome with remarkable success using multiple mode horns which are constructed with periodically corrugated walls. Such horns, often referred to as scalar horns, have been constructed to provide almost perfect pattern symmetry and high beam efficiency over bandwidths approaching an octave. Also, it should be added that the techniques employed in the design of mode exciters, polarizers, filters, etc., which are used in the typical feed system, have been sufficiently refined so that a total feed system insertion loss of less than 1/10 decibel, equivalent to a 7 degree Kelvin noise temperature contribution, is possible. To some extent, the feed design has been complicated by requirements to automatically track a spacecraft. Generally, a compromise between feed efficiency and tracking performance is effected. For antennas which operate with synchronous satellites, tracking requirements are not severe, and the performance penalties are almost negligible. Perhaps the most effective way of demonstrating the state-of-the-art in high gain-to-noise temperature antennas is to briefly outline what can be typically achieved today. The following data, taken on a 97-foot diameter, shaped dual reflector antenna at 4 GHz, illustrates this fairly well. The antenna temperature at zenith is 23 degrees Kelvin. At 5 degree elevation, it is 53 degrees Kelvin. The antenna gain is 60.4 dB. With an input amplifier temperature of 20 degrees Kelvin, the actual system, this system has a gain-to-noise temperature ratio of 41.8 decibels. Note that these performance data do not represent the best that have been achieved. Certainly, lower noise temperatures than those listed above have been reported. The data presented here should be taken as representative of what can be realized with a typical present-day operational Earth station. References for this report: R.C. Hansen, Low Noise Antennas, published in Microwave Journal, Volume 2, Number 6, June 1959. D.C. Hoag, that's H-O-W-G, Effective Antenna Temperatures Due to Oxygen and Water Vapor in the Atmosphere, Journal of Applied Physics, Volume 30, Number 9, September 1959. D.C. Hoag and W.W. Mumford, The Effective Noise Temperature of the Sky, in Microwave Journal, Volume 3, Number 3, March 1960. L.V. Blake, Low Noise Receiving Antennas, published in Microwaves, Volume 3, Number 3, March 1960. And finally, A.B. Crawford, D.C. Hoag, and L.E. Hunt, A Horn Reflector Antenna for Space Communications, published in the Bell Systems Technical Journal, Volume 40, Number 4, April 1961. This report prepared by R.W. Krutel, Jr., Communication Satellite Corporation, ComSat Laboratories. Date: Dial Access Technical Education is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report, send a self-addressed envelope and the title of this report, High Gain, Low Noise Temperature Antennas, to IEEE Headquarters, New York.